Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Oh, where would you be without the laughing leprechauns on St. Patrick's Day? We hope you had a lovely weekend. Still some time left to celebrate another couple of hours or so, so why not stay here and enjoy the wonders of nature with the Mooney Goes Wild team. In studio, Richard Collins and Niall Hatch. And boys, have I got a treat for you, and indeed our lovely listeners at home. It's a Christy Moore classic, in my book at any rate, a live recording of a song called St. Patrick Was a Gentleman. Now, it involves a listening exercise, so please pay attention.
Oh, Patrick was a gentleman, and he came from decent people. He built a church in Dublin town, and on it put a steeple. His father was a Gallagher, his mother was a Grady. His aunt was in the Shocknessy, and his uncle was Paul Brady. The Wicklow hills are very high, and so is the hill of Hoth, sir. There's a hill much higher still, much higher nor Dunbot, sir. On the top of this high hill, St. Patrick preached a sermon.
Drove the frogs into the bogs and banished all the vermin.
Good old Christy Moore. Richard Collins and Niall Hatch, as I said, are with us. We'll be hearing from Ainini Lana and our marine scientist Ken Whelan a little bit later on. Let's start with you, Richard Collins, if you were listening to those lyrics carefully. Drove the frogs into the bogs and banished all the vermin. Well, did he really, Richard? Did he really?
Well, why are there no snakes? Well, Ireland just doesn't suit snakes. It's too cold and it's too isolated, and they couldn't get here. Ireland broke off from Britain a few thousand years before Britain broke off from mainland Europe. So the snakes were able to manage to get into Britain, but they didn't manage to cross over into Ireland. So that's the reason we have none. But they have species of snake in Britain, and some of them actually go right up to the Arctic Circle. The other breeds inside the Arctic Circle, which is quite unbelievable. So in a sense, these are the great ecologists, the snakes. You know, good use of energy. They eat very little compared to, and their metabolism is slow. They are very good. If we could only be more like snakes, we would be much
better.
You
never mentioned St. Patrick in your explanation there.
Oh, well, that's not St. Patrick. It's actually St. Paul.
But the legend is that St. Patrick in the 5th century banished all the snakes from
the
Ireland,
legend?
Because apparently he was on a 40-day fast or something, and the snakes were attacking him, and he said, get off me and get out of here and don't ever come back.
That's a lift, as they say. It's a lift. In fact, it's St. Paul who was supposed to have banished the snakes from Malta. But I think they have four species of snake in Malta still, so he didn't do a very good job.
I've been to Malta, and snakes are actually quite common there. One of them, the leopard snakes, one of the most beautiful animals in all of Europe. I absolutely love them. And I love snakes in general, and I wish we did have them here in Ireland.
Well, March is snake emergence season, as it's called. Snakes right across Europe are coming out of their shells, so to speak. But we're one of the few countries in the world that don't have snakes. But could you name any other country or continent, for that matter, where snakes are absent?
Iceland.
Yes, Iceland would not have snakes.
That's right,
volcanic
Iceland.
Anywhere with volcanic origins, I would suspect.
New Zealand.
Yes, New Zealand. Australia, obviously, there's lots, but not New Zealand.
Greenland.
Indeed.
And Antarctica.
And places like Antarctica, a large continental landmass, which we now think of as the frozen south of the world, but was once originally a tropical jungle area, it must originally have had snakes. It had all sorts of things in the past. We just don't know, because any fossil remains would be buried under many kilometres of ice when they're there, but it would have looked very different back then.
Yeah, they're very, very sensible creatures. They don't bother generating their own heat. They use the sun's light to heat them up during the day, and they allow themselves to cool down at night. Very efficient system, no wastage. They're not eating all sorts of things in order to heat themselves up. They are marvellous in that respect. They are very colourful creatures as well. There's two extremes. One is camouflage, so the snake might try to make itself obscure and undetectable. And the other extreme is to develop garish colours and have some nasty weapon like a poisonous bite. So don't truck with me, or you will do so at your cost, you see. So you get these wonderful markings, these beautiful markings you get on some of the poisonous snakes. And then you get another group that aren't poisonous at all, but they mimic the poisonous ones, like the drone flies mimic the wasps.
I think in Ireland, people who have grown up in Ireland tend to be very complacent when travelling abroad, even when travelling just across the water in Britain, because we are not accustomed to having snakes around us at all. Whereas all across the world, including especially continental Europe, the snakes are everywhere. They're very, very common. And this is exactly the time of year when they start to emerge. They've been dormant and torpid over the course of the winter months. Now, as the daylight is warming the earth, they're coming back to life because they're cold-blooded, of course, so they need the energy from the sun. They're hungry. They want to get out and find food because they're going to get into their mating soon, where some of them will writhe together in big groups. One I particularly have seen in North America called the garter snake is famous for doing that, these big mating balls that they do. And so they're hungry and they're out and they're on the move in parts of Europe. And yet a lot of people from Ireland will just blithely stroll through a forest with relief litter, not realising there could be snakes all around.
Even in Britain, and there are actually three species in Britain.
That's right, so only one venomous.
The grass snake, the adder, and then the very rare smooth snake. Yeah, I made a program for the BBC about adders a long time ago.
And you'd be very unlucky to suffer any two serious consequences from an adder bite or a viper bite. It's very painful, but it's usually not fatal unless someone has an allergic reaction. There is another closely related species in the same genus, the Vivipara genus of snakes. There are several across Europe, but one particularly is well known. It's the asp, which is the one that killed Cleopatra, and that's quite common in southern Europe, and that can kill. There's another one called the Montpellier snake, which is very venomous. Common again. I've seen them in the south of France several times. Big snake, but its fangs are set very far back in its mouth, so it would be very difficult to actually get bitten by one. You have to be almost handling it and put your hand in its mouth in order to be bitten. Obviously, if you're a mouse or a rat or something, it's quite different. That's what they want to prey on. But most snakes, of course, are completely harmless to humans. And I remember one amazing encounter I had with a snake. I found them very beautiful. I remember being on the island of St. Lucia, of all places, a few years ago. I was walking with my partner, Natalia. We're going through this wonderful jungle trail looking for the unique St. Lucia orioles. Beautiful
sound.
For me, isn't it? But then Natalia was just in front of me, and then all of a sudden she just recoiled off this trail like in shock and gave a scream. And in front of her was a 3 meter long boa constrictor that she had stood on. Now it's since been split as a separate species. It's the St. Lucia boa, which is a unique species of that island. This absolutely gorgeous snake. And they're top dog or top snake on the island. They have nothing to fear from. So rather than being aggressive, this snake was just annoyed and just sort of slowly slithered off. And I must admit, I couldn't resist just bending down when the head was far enough away just to touch it and feel what it felt like. So warm, because it's been basking in the sun, such a beautiful, gorgeous animal. That's one of the snakes that, as the name boa constrictor would suggest, it doesn't kill with venom. It kills by constricting, wrapping itself around the prey and strangling.
But is the skin not rough, leathery?
Yes. It's this one, you could feel a sort of slinkiness to it, but it's not smooth. It's certainly not slimy. It certainly glides very well. But what you really feel with snakes, and I've held a few snakes in my time.
Muscular they are.
Yeah, pure power. Even a very tiny snake, you just feel, wow, this is strong. So very, very impressive animals. And a lot of people are very frightened of them, and I wouldn't want to be bitten by one, but I think they're gorgeous.
We have developed protection against snakes in a funny way. We have an innate fear of them. Monkeys are the same. The only way we can guard ourselves against them is to be hyper-vigilant about them. So we have seemed to have inherited a fear of them. A curious thing, you mentioned encountering snakes in the wild. I remember once being on an elephant in India. And we encountered a python, you know. Now, elephants are said to be afraid of mice. I don't know if they are, but they're said to be. They're certainly afraid of bees. But this elephant was not the least perturbed about the python, which is very strange. You find a big, long python there, and it was curious.